May we be helped to worship God, commencing this service by singing together hymn number 698. Hymn 698. June dismissal 671. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the Church's living head? Hymn 698, June dismissal 671.
Who's my soul and
I'm a nation.
is a searching hymn which we've just sung. And the chapter that we are to read, if we read it in that light, is a searching chapter, and the sermon likewise. I didn't think to say anything, but as I was in the vestry just now, it came to me to bring before you firstly a few verses from the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Just reading those first few verses. How the Lord caused Job to stand up and reasoned with him. Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this? The darkness counseled by words without knowledge. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." And then for two chapters, Job, the Lord reasons with Job until in the beginning of chapter 40. In the third verse, Job answers and says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And then the Lord continues to reason with Job until we have in the 42nd chapter. And the first few verses we have Job's answering, but that in the 5th and 6th. Verses of the last chapter of Job. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And so is the Lord's dealings with his people, bringing them to that low place before him. And so may we now read together with discernment Romans chapter 8, the first 32 verses. Romans chapter 8, the first 32 verses. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And how searching is this next sentence? Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life, Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For a creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Leave the reading there. May we be helped to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, do please help us to come rightly into thy holy presence, the presence of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord, we enter thy courts, but may we stand and tremble. May we, as Job, stand up, gird ourselves, hear, humbly hear what the Lord will speak. May there be that fear and trembling falls my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Thou knowest, Lord, the flesh says these things are uncomfortable. The flesh maybe would rather hear smooth things. But there's that one thing that's needful, Lord. We know not when the hour will come. But Lord, may we truly be given to know that we are thine and thou art ours. It shall be well. Oh dear Lord, may we be favoured to be made a real Christian. Lord, thy work, thy perfect work, Lord, preparing souls not only to live and walk this life here below, leaning upon their beloved, but Lord, to be prepared to sing that song of everlasting praise, to worship the Lamb, bow before thee, casting our crowns at thy feet. Oh dear Lord, oh that my soul might know and love thee more. Lord, may we be given that will fill your love, loving the Lord our God with all our heart. Is it not one of those commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? And Lord, we cast no stones, for Lord, we know our heart so often loves the world. Our heart solemnly would rather be immersed in those things sometimes, Lord, left to ourselves, than turn into thy word, turn into thy house. Oh, how solemn, Lord. And yet, we we know what it is, Lord. To echo the words of Job, He maketh my heart soft. Yes, Lord, Thou knowest how to make the clay malleable, workable, softened, ready for Thy hand to shape it. Lord, and we do pray that Thou wouldest make us vessels to the honour and glory of our God, and that we might have that treasure in our earthen vessel. So, Lord, we do pray for each one, that we might each know Thy work begun and carried on. Thou knowest, Lord, that Thy work sometimes is as a fire, but other times it is as a flower opening, so soft and gentle that we can scarcely discern it. But then, as we look back, we find that that work has been done. Those changes have been wrought, and we have to humbly acknowledge it is none other but the hand of God. And Lord, we do pray that in whatever way it is Thy holy will to work in each soul, and we do believe Thy way is perfect, past finding out, and that Thou dost lead Thy people forth by that right way personally for them. Lord, whatever be the way for each soul here, Lord, we pray it might be Thy hand that safely leads my soul along. His loving kindness, oh how strong. Lord, that we might each be taught of the Lord. Lord, that we might each be worked upon, not left as a marred pot to be cast aside, smashed. Lord, cast out. Oh dear Lord, please work in each one. Please do not leave any to rest short. Please give each one a living cry, as a babe cries when it is born. So may each one be found, however young, crying unto Thee. Oh, do teach the dear children even, Lord. May they be found in secret, asking God to work in them. Asking Thee, dear Lord, to teach them, not to leave them out, but to give them a God-given religion, to give them real religion. Something, Lord, which will be acceptable in Thy sight, because it is of Thee, Lord. Oh, please work, Lord, in each one. Lord, make us as those stones fitly joined together. Lord, Thy work, chipping off all the corners. Thy work, Lord, causing each one to be fitly framed. Lord, we think of those songs of ascent, those songs sung by the Jews going up to Jerusalem, those 15 psalms, one of which speaks of Jerusalem being fitly framed together, compact, and how those huge stones of the Jerusalem walls were so carefully crafted, not even a knife could be passed between. The devil cannot get his knife in. No. We look to our Creator, our Redeemer, our Saviour, to so work that our stones might be fitly joined together here in this church congregation, Lord. That it might be a church and congregation walking close to their God. A church and congregation hungry after the Word of God. Oh Lord, please work. Lord, we bear each one before Thee. Those absent from us, unable to gather together. Lord, our brother deacon where he preaches at Mount Pierce, oh Lord, and his dear one, Lord, help each one. May each one be enabled to feed this day. And dear Lord, where are those prodigals? Thou knowest. Lord, is not thine eye upon them? Thou, Lord God, seest me, and Thou, Lord God, seest them. Lord, in that sense they are no further from Thee, because Thou art omnipresent. But, oh dear Lord, do turn their hearts toward Thee. Please work, Lord, bring them back. And Lord, are there not in this town those souls that Thou art pleased to save? Are there not those that Thou will be pleased to turn in? Lord, we do pray, let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, Thy glory unto their children. Lord, may we see the good hand of our God causing there to be that building up of Jerusalem. That building up of this little corner of Thy vineyard, Lord. And then, dear Lord, may also plead for the good hand of our God to send us a man of understanding. A pastor, Lord, after Thine own heart. Lord, whose labours will be blessed by Thee. Thou knowest where that man is. We think of David. Is there yet any sons? Oh, there's still one. Yes, maybe. Out in the field, Thou knowest where he is. Lord, cause him to come in. And so, Lord, we look for Thy work through and through. And Lord, Thou knowest all those other things that we are exhorted to pray for. Our leaders, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, the solemn state of this country. Thou knowest, Lord, particularly how in recent days we've seen that those that have Christian beliefs, we might say, are hounded. Lord, even atheists having to acknowledge that there seems to be no place for a Protestant member of Parliament, a Protestant politician. Oh Lord, is not thine hand gone out against us? Hast thou not left us to our own devices? Are we not becoming a stench in thy nostrils? Oh, have mercy, Lord, we pray. Have mercy. Turn us again and we shall be turned. Though, dear Lord, we fear the pathway. Lord, because shall there not be judgment? But in wrath, remember mercy, Lord. Oh, do have mercy upon us, we pray. Could it please you to turn us again? Cause there to be those raised up in high places that fear thee and walk tenderly before thee. And yet, dear Lord, we think of Cyrus being raised up, though he knew thee not, yet caused to do that for the good of thy people. And so we humbly acknowledge that all these things are in thy hands. But we pray, have mercy, Lord. Thou knowest all those areas of earthquakes and divers troubles and wars. O Lord, may we take heed, are not these the last times? Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? O dear Lord, do search us out and constrain us to seek thee earnestly whilst thou mayest be found. Lord, and in these areas, Lord, for tribulation, we do pray that there might be those souls caused to turn unto God, caused to know thee. Oh Lord, that it might be thy eternal purposes of love and mercy, that there might be those elect vessels saved by sovereign grace, even we might say through these things, for thy ways are indeed past finding out. O Lord, do if it could please thee, overturn the aggressor. Lord, overturn. Lord, in the great war, did we not, as a nation, rightly seek thy face, and thou heardest and answerest prayer. O may there be that seeking of thee, Lord, in Ukraine. Lord, may there be that looking unto God for help and seeing their God arise. Lord, thou canst turn the souls unto thee. Thou canst be that great witness of thy might and power. O Lord, could it please thee that through these things there might be that thine honour and glory. So Lord, please help. And Lord, we commit all these things into thy hand and plead with thee now for help, Lord, in these services. Lord, we pray for food for souls, Lord. We pray for souls to feed. Lord, we pray that thy work might be done. And we ask, Lord, that thou send thy servant up with thy word this night. Help him to come. Lord, with thus saith the Lord, and oh, may it be a word in season to us, Lord. Whether for guidance, direction, Lord, reproof, chastisement, thou knowest. But let it do us good, Lord. Lord, thou knowest the circumstances of each one here and all that is before them. those things in the opening week. Some with exams, Lord, thou knowest all these things. Thou knowest the personal circumstances of each one. And thou canst meet each one's case personally. Lord, then we look unto thee to help. But Lord, we have never dying souls. Lord, do we pray thee, cause us to know that we are thine. And thou art ours. And that it shall be well. Lord, work, Lord. Forgive all we are. Forgive the poverty of our prayers. And come and bless us, undeserving though we are. Favour us with thy presence. Where two or three are gathering together in thy courts. We ask for Jesus Christ. Amen. The notices are that, God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Graham Cottenham next Lord's Day evening, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed, God willing, during the evening service. And there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service the next Lord's Day. And this evening, Mr. Robert Field is engaged to preach. The collection and donations for the month amounted to £560 in the general fund and £27.15 in the benevolent fund. We desire to thank the Lord for his provision and acknowledge the willing giving of the friends. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing the 237th hymn, 237. Hymn 237, part 1, tune Salvator, 652. I'll read the first verse and we commence singing at the second. Let us ask the important question. Brethren, be not too secure. What it is to be a Christian, how we may our hearts assure. Vain is all our best devotion, if on false foundations built. True religion's more than notion, something must be known and felt. Commencing to sing at the second verse, hymn 237, tune 652. Is to trust the
we
Preached at Skeins Hill by Mr. Javis Field. in July 1950. The text you will find in the chapter that we read, Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for a manifestation of the sons of God. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. How often in our reading of the scriptures we forget or overlook to whom they are addressed. This chapter here is not addressed, my friends, to the world. Paul is very particular how he commences his epistles, if you notice, and so are all the apostles. In this chapter he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. But that is not to the world. It is to them that are in Christ Jesus. You see, this is who this is addressed to. And we do well to consider this, my friends. Although when you come to search the scriptures, you will find they treat of the opposite character in order to warn the living people of God and to warn these unbelievers. I want to come, if the Lord will help me, to try and show what it is for the soul to be found in this state and condition of which the text speaks, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It will be necessary for me just to point out briefly as I can of the soul coming into this state and place. That is, into this waiting condition. When the Lord begins a good work of grace in a poor sinner's heart, my friends, he soon reveals something to that soul, so that he may have something to reach forward, to lay hold of. Now you know, whether you have got this, whether you've got anything that you are reaching forward for. Now I maintain this, my friends, that unless Christ has been revealed to you by the Holy Ghost, you cannot know anything of him, much less desire him and want him. By nature we do not know anything of Christ. You don't. You may have your head in your or your brain stocked full of doctrine, but that will bring nothing to your soul. I'm not speaking against the doctrines of grace, but they don't feed a soul, my friends. No, they don't. You must have something more than this. And when the Lord does convince a poor sinner of sin, he brings him into that state and condition where he certainly feels he shall be eternally lost. Why? Because he don't see any other way. Through this, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So he cannot see anything else. There must be a right beginning, my friends. Because it does not matter what you come into. If your beginning is not right, your end will not be right. No, it will not. So it is well for us to examine our beginning, to know how we come to make a start or to move. It is indeed when God finds a poor sinner, Because he goes out, my friends. You say, why? Because they're like lost sheep. They're going astray. And that is where he found his saints in all times. He found them wandering about in the wilderness. He did indeed. That is where he found thee, sinner, having no thoughts, no care, no want, no desire, or anything different from the world and its vain pleasures. But, you see, he brings them back. That is where God finds a poor soul that has wandered far away from him. Because the Spirit, the Scripture says this, as soon as we are born we go astray. From the womb speaking lies. That is a solemn declaration of God, who cannot make a mistake. That is the natural trend of a sinner who is born in this world, to wander away. And God finds these souls, and he turns their feet by implanting divine life in their hearts, convincing them of their sin, their awful state and condition, opening their eyes to see this. You didn't see it before, but he opened your eyes. And you saw you were wandering away. And he will turn your feet. And when he does that, your back is then upon the world where your face was before. You turn your back on the world, poor sinner, yes you do, by this powerful work of the Holy Ghost. And now the poor soul begins to cry. He wants something. And what does he want now? He wants mercy, pardon, forgiveness. And he knows no other place where it can be obtained, only from God. He does not know anything about the three persons in the Trinity, so he cries for mercy. He bends his knees, creeps into a secret place, as the case may be, where he may beg of God for mercy, because he feels his need, you see. But this conviction still goes on, and God from time to time deepens that in a sinner's heart. And every time he puts his hand afresh to the work, he does this a number of times, and you go down every time he does this, and he goes deeper. He ploughs deeper and shows what's in your heart, a poor ruined sinner. He shows you this. You've not got a single thought, desire, or anything in you. You have not got it. You want to escape eternal damnation. Hence you cry for mercy. You do. You will not escape easily, sinner. No, not under this. Never, never. You want more than you can get. So you want more than you have got. Yes, you do. And he has got it to give. He will put it into your heart presently. And I hope to show you presently that at times you will feel, when you come to the end of all things, something must be done, or you must perish forever. So the poor sinner who is called, he falls here, and he feels that he's not got that anchor. He is full of fear and trembling. But this blessed Spirit, who is carrying on this conviction, this convincing work in a sinner's heart, brings forth this blessed Saviour in his time and in his way. And he holds him up to the sinner's understanding and causes him to look to this Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he looks here, and the moment his eyes are set upon this blessed Christ, there is hope. Why? Because salvation is here if he can get it. Who can tell, says the poor sinner, but what I may obtain salvation? And he goes after him. He reaches forth to lay hold of this hope, which is Christ, being set before him in the gospel. He goes after it. This is what Paul said, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He has been before you. If he is not, my friend, you're not interested in this. In what? In what the apostle says here. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For this manifestation that he is a child of God. That brings us a little to the point. Are you waiting? Has he been revealed? Because if he has not, you don't know anything about it. I know it's close, my friends. But when God deals with a soul, he doesn't play. And he will not play with you. He will not play with your soul. And he means every sentence he says when he speaks. You see now, poor soul, when Christ is set before you, you are gone. You say gone. You're gone to him. You run with all the power of your soul. Yes, you do. This is where a soul comes out and is separated and leaves the world in heart and affection. He leaves it. I know you must have to do with the world while you are in the world, but the point is here, this soul, his heart and affections are after Christ. If only he can obtain what he wants, what he has seen of this precious Redeemer. Because here is life, here is salvation, here is the solid ground where the sinner has to hope for eternity. It is indeed, if he can get this. That brings us to this, my friends. Are you waiting? Pressing? Seeking? Striving? What for? To get this. You will not have it without. God has got no room for a lazy sinner. Not in this sense. He wants what he is going to have from you if you're one of his. What is that? All the heart or nothing. He doesn't take a part. And this soul willingly gives it too. This will make a change in your life. That it will. This will make a change. Because you will go from time to time with a cry like this. Give me Christ. Or else I die. Why, there is no safety and security until you get it. You will have to bear with me, my friends, in my plain dealings. That has ever been my way. Because when God took me in hand first, he dealt plainly with me. He didn't play with me. And he will not play with you. That he will not. It is necessary. It is indeed. And this poor soul is brought there with fervent, earnest longings and desires after this salvation. Oh, how he longs for this. He is willing sometimes, when Christ is made so exceedingly precious to him, to suffer all things and anything to obtain this. Come, come, my friend. If you don't come here, you are in a solemn place. You are indeed, if you never come to this spot. Why? Because this is where the soul chooses Christ. He chooses Christ that he may live. And there is no life anywhere else, only in this Christ. And this soul has seen it. So he presses, he strives that he may enter in. Indeed, I tell you more, poor soul, though I do not want to run too fast with this subject, but you have already entered in, if he has done this for you. There is no other way whereby we can enter into the sheepfold, only through the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This soul he leads. I tell you this, my friends, if you do not sacrifice what Christ has revealed here, you will never have him. You will not. You will die a lost soul forever. You have got to give up the here. Yes, you have. Paul said, I have suffered loss of all things that I might win Christ and be found in him. Have you come to it? I know it's hard work, poor soul. It is indeed. It is a stripping work. And you must come to it if you're going to get to heaven. Because there is no other way. Only through this channel. And that will be like I heard an old chap say 50 years ago in the pulpit. He said, every child of God that enters heaven goes through the eye of a needle. Yes, he does, he said. He goes through, but others cannot. You may say, how does he go through? Because of this. Because God makes all his people nothing. Nothing will go through. But something will not. And you've got to come down to this, to be nothing. And he, that he may be all in all, and over all. And he will be this to you if he reveals himself. And you see in his precious beauty. Oh, this will win your heart, poor soul. Nature is not of the slightest importance compared with this. When you see him, everything else vanishes away in comparison with this precious, spotless, holy Lamb of God, in whom is salvation. If this soul can but lay hold upon it, this will bring you to the spot where you will feel this, my friends. What is that? I envy not the rich man's gold. If I am Christ's, I've wealth untold. There's something more I seek to win. 'Tis Christ in me, and I in him. That is where this soul is fixed. What is he to you now, my friends? Look at it. Time is short, and eternity is near. And it's just before you, that it is. And you will want something real, something vital. You will want a foundation to rest upon then. You will indeed. And he is the foundation that God will lay in Zion. He is. Oh, I do want to be assured of this. This is my hope, my friends. If I know my heart, my hope is built on nothing else. than this Christ. When he was first revealed to my soul, that was the first hope that ever entered my heart. It was indeed. What about you? What about you? You see, this soul expects, and he has got ground to expect, to find him presently, to embrace him, to know him for himself. He has got good ground to. Christ reveals himself to a poor sinner with a full intention, eventually, to give that soul the sweet and blessed assurance of faith to believe he is his Saviour. And when you come to that poor soul, why, it is all your soul desires, isn't it? It is indeed. That it is. Oh, to have this. What is he to you then? What is he to you, my friends? I don't mind what your profession is, nor yet how many years you've been in it. If you've not got this, you've not the slightest foundation to rest upon for eternity. No, you haven't. Not according to the divine scriptures, which are unalterable, unchangeable, infallible. They are. Oh, to have this, my friends. Have you got it? Has he been revealed? When I say, has he been revealed, I don't mean you must have a view of his person. Oh no, I don't mean that. I mean this. The Holy Spirit reveals to you that the way of salvation is through this Christ. Though you do not know him, but it is through Christ. It must come through him. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Yes, you must come to him. You must have him if ever you come to heaven. But here is the poor soul. He keeps plodding on, waiting. And God keeps his people waiting. Yes, he does. And that is not often a comfortable place, you say, isn't it? No. I know it says, blessed are all they that wait for me. So they are. But my friends, you look at the poor soul standing, and every moment keeps passing away, and every hour brings them nearer that awful eternity, brings them nearer and nearer to his fate. And he wants, he longs, he pants, he calls from time to time to God of heaven to reveal his Son in him. Outside, my friends, will not do, but to have it in your heart. This is where vital godliness lives. It is indeed. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his Son in me, you see, you must have him inside of you. In the head will not do, my friends. Thousands had that who are now in hell. They had that, but you want more. So do I. And you'll cry this cry sometimes, my friends, if you are one of those who are desirous of obtaining the salvation for your soul. You will come to this spot where you will ask the Lord to make you right, whatever it costs you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You don't frighten this soul with a little trouble. His soul is too precious in his sight to be put off without obtaining. Even if it does cost a little trouble, and it will, poor soul. If you have this, you cannot get through without it. In the world you shall have tribulation, said the blessed Saviour. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But now you keep waiting for a soul, don't you? You want this. And sometimes you've not got a bit of religion in you. No want, no desire, no nothing. You feel to be completely dead altogether. But this grieves you. You cannot move. You have neither strength nor power to move. He must do everything for you. It is a mercy to fear your wisdom. But this poor soul, as he waits, is something like the prophet Isaiah. He said he was like the beacon on the top of the mountain, an ensign on a hill. This is where you are. If you are here, you have nearly everything locked up from you. That is what I mean. God is going to cut off things from you. And you're exposed to the devil and to the temptations he so craftily brings. And not only that, but you will meet with some who are in a profession, and they will not spare you. They will leave some wounds before they leave you. And the painful part of it is, when you come to yourself from time to time, you've not got what you want. You cannot see what you want to see. You cannot feel what you want to feel. But you will. Yes, you will. That you will. But you've got to come through this way. That is what makes it so painful. And this is what makes you feel alone for the most part. You will not find many companions. And when you do, they will soon leave you. For 'tis decreed that most should tread the darkest paths alone. And not only that, but you will have this to encounter. You will feel sometimes God's hand has gone out against you. Oh, how bitter this is. It is indeed. You will wish you'd never been born. You will wish you had never known anything at all. Never had anything whatsoever. You have all sorts of fits and starts. And the work still goes on, poor soul. That it does. You cannot make any headway, can you? And not only this, but you feel this sometimes. What is it? Eternity is just in front of you. And your strength decays, your spirits droop, and you can scarcely perceive a glimmer of hope. Oh yes, poor soul. And in your feelings, you may be ready to run, but you've not got anywhere to run to. If you do run, I can tell you where to run to. To run to this God in whom you have hoped. I was here some 3 or 4 years ago. I was on my bed and pretty bad in my body. I could scarcely move and had not a scrap of religion in me. I could not get near God. I could not get to the throne of grace. I know many people do not come into these spots and places, but if you are one who fears God, you will come into these things. I came to this spot. It was all the religion I got in me. In my soul's feelings, I said, I shall lie as close to you, Lord, as I possibly can, as I'm taken out of this world. That was all I had, and I meant it. But just at that spot, oh, how sweetly he smiled upon me. And I said, I believe, Lord, thou art the same. Though darkness spread around our tent, though fear prevail and joy decline, God will not of his oath repent. Dear Lord, thy people still are thine. You have a little taste of that, poor soul, and it will be strong meat. Oh yes. I don't want to run away from any of you, my friends, but I must speak what God has taught me in my soul, and what he's revealed to me in the scriptures of truth. I've not got anything else. I would not be a bit of good reading a book. It would not be a bit of good reading a book and saying, I will take this up with me. I should forget it before I got out of the house. I don't read many books. If I want anything, I have to come here for it. It is all that I've got. And I've proved creatures to be the rottenest props ever I've had. I've not had 53 years travelling this path and not learnt a few lessons. But are you here? Dost thou want him? You say, I cannot get near him. Well, tell him so. You will not offend him. You tell him what you feel. You know what he says, don't you? Open your mouth wide. That means this, make a clean breast of everything you feel inside. Tell him it. He will not be offended, oh no. He kindly listens while they tell the bitter pangs they feel within. He will listen to you. Yes, he will. He will indeed. And you will prove this. If you continue to press your case at the throne of grace, his bowels of compassion and mercy will move toward you. Yes, they will. Oh, yes. But I don't want to run away from you or to rob you, dear friends. But you look. I come as low as I dare. As I dare come according to the scriptures. Have you got this? A desire in your soul that you might be reckoned among the living in Jerusalem. But you cannot see perhaps nothing how it can be. But have you got the desire, the want? If so, you've got this. I would say this to you for your encouragement. You go to this Christ and ask him and tell him what you feel. He often reveals his mind to a babe. Yes, he does. I know he does. Indeed, it makes me think. 20 years ago, I was speaking at a place and I said this. You may go to the Lord and you may tell him this. Tell him that I have sent you. I have the authority. Tell him I've sent you with your case. That was the case I was speaking of. Not that I knew the cases of the people. I didn't know a single soul. And 20 years afterward I met a person. And it appeared that they were there. And they said, do you remember saying such a thing? I said, yes, I do. They said, I was in deep distress and trouble. They said, when I got home that night, I went in secret in my bedroom, and I told him you told me to come. And I never went away many times before he appeared. And he delivered me out of my trouble. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. He will have so much to put, you will have so much to put upon him because you cannot get out of the way. You say, what do you mean? You stand here and cannot move because you cannot get what you want. And you have to be subject to the fiery darts of the devil and to the working of your wicked heart. For that will give the lie to everything. You have to put up with this. And the devil will have you down sometimes. He will have you down and me down. Yes, indeed, he will trip you up. He will tempt you on some point, perhaps most bitterly. And perhaps he can get you to speak according to his temptation. That is it. And as soon as you have done it, he will turn around and accuse you of the very thing, while he was the author of it. I have many a fight here. Then I have to cry to him. Oh, I do love to call in the captain of my salvation. If he comes, I know I'm all right. I know I'm all right if I can get him there. I do love to get him there. And I have to come to him like this. I tell him that he's got everything in his hand. And I have not got anything. I am defenseless. If he does not come, I have no shelter if he is not there. And so I tell him to come, and come for his own honour and his glory, his own glory. Poor sinner, if you plead very hard on this ground, you will obtain. I hope I have. But this soul still keeps waiting, my friends. And the greatest majority of the children of God are called upon to wait. Yes, they are. Tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveals his love with power. For he will come. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. You cannot wait in vain, poor soul. Oh no, that you cannot. You will have to wait for him. Oh yes. You will have to wait his time. He kept me waiting for 20 years before he gave it me. I didn't get what I wanted. That full unquestioning assurance. That was all I wanted. I wanted to hear him say, I have suffered for you. I paid the whole of your debt. I wanted to know. Do you? Still wait, poor soul. Still knock on at his door. For he will come eventually, poor soul. Yes, he will. And when he comes, you will dance. You say, dance? Yes, you will. They shall go forth, the scripture says, in the dances of them that make merry. And you will dance when you have had that sweet hope and that blessed assurance that he has prepared a place for you in heaven. And in his own time and his way, he will take you where he is. That's where I am. That where I am, there ye may be also. This is worth 1,000 worlds, it is indeed. May he add his blessing. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 737, hymn 737, to the tune St. Calum 497. Gracious Lord, incline thine ear, my request vouchsafe to hear, hear my never ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737, tune St. Calum 497. Gracious Lord, incline thy
Save.
Accomplish that whereto thou sendest it. And Lord, do please be with us during the interval. Grant that we may come up to thy house this night, prayerfully exercised. Lord, that thou wouldest speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So, Lord, help thy servant to come and help us to come. Lord, that there might be that where we have gathered together to hear what thou wilt speak, Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion, teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.